This morning, I want to speak to you from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. The verse is going to be on the screen behind me, and we're all going to share in that verse together. If you've been a part of First Wesleyan Church, we have been going through Hebrews chapter 11. It's called the faith chapter, and what a great chapter it is. If you need to increase your faith, I encourage you to look at Hebrews chapter 11. But we find ourselves in the crossing of the Red Sea. What a neat time that was for the Israelites. And I just think that this was just kind of a neat little deal, how God set this up and we'd be dedicating the building on this day. And we're going to cross the Red Sea together today. And so if you would join me, I would like for you to read the verse that is on the screen behind me out loud with me today. And then I want to unpack that for just a couple of moments. Are you ready? Heard one yes and about four readies. Rest of you get ready. Here we go. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. I've got to mention this to you, by faith. Many of these verses in Hebrews chapter 11 start off by saying, by faith. What is faith? You see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says this, now faith is the assurance of things seen, the conviction of things not seen. And verse 6 of chapter 11 says, but without faith is it impossible to please God. And we're working our way to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, which says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. That's where we're aiming to go. And there's a number of people who are before you who have gone on ahead. They're in the great cloud of witnesses who are cheering you on. And we find ourselves in verse 29 today. By faith, the people. Who are these people? The people are the Israelites. For me, this verse seems kind of bland. I don't know if it seems bland to you or not, but it's like, by faith, they crossed the Red Sea and on dry land, but the Egyptians drowned. But there's so much more to that verse than just that. Let me give you some of the history on that. In Exodus, we see, Exodus is the second book of the Bible, we see that a new ruler came about, and that new ruler didn't know about Joseph and his descendants. These descendants came as a family of 70 and had grown to be quite large. Many scholars think it was probably about 1 million people. So these people, called the Israelites, were not viewed very highly by the Egyptians. And so Pharaoh subdued them and the scripture says, dealt shrewdly with them. They set heavy task makers over them and afflicted them with heavy burdens. They were slaves and worked with mortar and brick, and in the field they were suppressed, they were depressed, and they were oppressed. They were beaten down, they were given up, and they were used up. Then there was a mandate that was given that was said, hey, if you have a baby boy and you're a Hebrew, what's going to happen is that baby is going to be thrown into the Nile. During that time, there was a baby that was born by the name of Moses. And if you know the story of Moses, he was kept hidden for 3 months by his parents, and then he was ushered in a basket down the river, and the son of Pharaoh's daughter came and got him, drew him out of the water, and he grew up as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, Moses got into a little bit of trouble. He didn't like what was happening with the Israelites, and so one day he goes out and he kills an Egyptian. Not a good thing, of course. And during that time, he decided to leave. And so he left and he went to the wilderness, and the wilderness was Midian, and he spent 40 years there. Then you remember, Moses was there, and all of a sudden he's out one day in the wilderness, and over here or over there, I'm not sure where it was, to his proximity, there was a bush, and it was burning, but it did not burn up. And he was surprised by that. Maybe you've had a burning bush experience. I don't know if you had one of those or not. Maybe it was somewhere up in the hills where all of a sudden God just spoke to you in a mighty way. And that's what happened to Moses. He started to approach that bush because he was a little intrigued by that, and the bush didn't burn up. And finally, he heard these words, take off your sandals. You are on holy ground. Now, I didn't ask you to take your sandals off today, and I probably won't have you do that. But let me tell you this, you're on holy ground. I've mentioned this in places before, and I'll mention it again to you today. I'm assuming there were some individuals that were a little nomadic in nature, and they probably camped on this ground somewhere along this way. But there's never been a building on this ground until this building was here, and this is holy ground. From the beginning of time, God knew that this building was going to be here, and it's here. Now, I'm assuming if the Lord tarries and we're not here for another 500 years, that this building, though Gustafson Builders does a wonderful job, it might not be here in 500 years. But it's here, and this is holy ground. Moses was there, and he saw the burning bush, and he's like, now what's going on here? And he went over to the bush, and God spoke to him, and God said, you need to go back to Egypt, and you need to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. If you remember the story, you know this. Moses is like, I can't talk. I'm not good enough. And God said, no, you're my man, and you need to go. Have you ever had one of those situations? You ever had one of those experiences where everybody else, you're like, oh, the teacher's going to pick everybody else except for me. And all of a sudden, the teacher looks at you and says, phew, I want you. It's what God did with Moses. And so Moses said, okay, I'm going to go, finally. So he went back to Pharaoh, and he told him that he wanted the people to go. And Pharaoh, of course, said no. And so because of that, he increased their work. God brought on 10 plagues. You remember some of the plagues? Nasty plagues from frogs and hail to grasshoppers, of darkness, and then finally the death of the firstborn. And then Pharaoh said, you can go. So Moses then led the people out. What a sight. What a memory. I have a feeling if it happened in 2017 that several people would have done this and then posted it, right? Or this, however, whatever you want to do. So they took off, and they got to this huge body of water called the Red Sea. But they got there, and they couldn't go across, and here comes the Egyptians. Now, if you read back in the Exodus account, when the Egyptians start coming on the Israelites, the Egyptians didn't just want to sit down and, hey, let's have a little coffee here while we're out here waiting for the Red Sea. They didn't just say, you know what, let's do a little hopscotch, or let's build some beach castles. They wanted the Israelites to come back, and if you read the story, they came armed with their chariots. But God didn't allow that to happen because he put a wall between them. The Israelites, though, saw the Red Sea, and they saw the Egyptians, and they're like, where to go? Now, we as a congregation, we're kind of in a similar place. Now, I don't think we had Egyptians after us. At least I hope we didn't have those. But where are we going to go? And I view this as we are kind of crossing the Red Sea like the Israelites did on that day. We have an enemy that's saying, no, 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 go back, go to something else. But this is what we need to do. We need to step forward as a church. And here's what it says in Exodus chapter 14. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to be silent. We aren't getting rid of Egyptians, but we are battling a foe by the name of Satan. But here, listen to this commentary, and here's what it says. Here we have the faith of a leader and of a people who were prepared to attempt the impossible at the command of God. The greatest barrier in the world is no barrier if God be there to help us overpass it. Let me repeat that. The greatest barrier in the world is no barrier if God be there to help us overpass it. What was the source of faith for Moses? The source of faith comes in verse 27, where he could see the unseen. It was said of Moses he would be able to see, speak face to face with God as man spoke with you and I. But they get to the Red Sea. I know we have some kids in the room today, so here's a song for the kids to enjoy. Some of you as older will remember this, but please watch the screen and listen. Sing along if you'd like.
Moses crossed the Red Sea.
How many of you remember that song from growing up in Sunday school? Now, I'm a little disappointed about that. Because if you knew that song growing up in Sunday school, I didn't hear you sing it. So I'm going to play it again. I'm joking. I'm not going to play it again. Show that next picture, Chris, please. 1 million people, Egyptians behind. How are we going to get across that? That's what they were faced with. How are we going to do that? Let me step aside for just a moment, okay? I know that I'm preaching to a church body this morning, and I'm talking more about us as a church moving to a new facility and this land and everything, but let me talk to you very personally for just a moment. I wonder if you find yourself here this morning and you feel personally, not as a church, but personally, there's something in your life that you just feel like, there's no way I'm going to get past whatever, Pastor Steve. You don't understand. And I just want to speak to you, and I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but I think there's several of you here this morning that you feel like there's something in your path that you're like, I just can't do it. Let me remind you of a couple of things. One, this verse says, by faith. And you have to have faith in God Almighty. And sometimes I know you get strung out, and there are some difficult times when you're like, but I just don't have any more. And I just want to encourage you from the depth of my heart to you personally speaking, you can do it because God is on your side. And you can be the most faithless individual, but God is still faithful. Trust in God Almighty. And I don't know how he's going to get you through the Red Sea or how he's going to get you through whatever you're going through, but personally, hear me in this. If you're within the sound of my voice today and there's something in your life, you're like, there's no way, know that God can do it. Know that God can do it. Here, let me get it to you again. The greatest barrier in the world is no barrier if God be there to help us overpass it. We're walking through the Red Sea as a church. If you're not involved in a church, come to our church. Be a part of this. I think it's something that's good, and we need to expand, and we need to grow. But I just got to thinking about this, and you've probably thought of this too. Have you ever seen a body of water dried up? If you've ever seen that, it's a swamp for quite a period of time. They don't turn into dry land. And I want you to know that when they traveled, there wasn't just one person that made it through. Who went through the Red Sea? Everyone. The young, the old, the middle-aged, the ornery, the stubborn, the ones who stumbled and the ones who ran, the ones who were helped across, the one who carried loads with them, everyone. The hungry, the sick, the strong, the ones who had great doubts, or the ones that when Moses said, here comes the Egyptians, they probably started putting their feet in the water, or they may have had some that jumped in and said, let's just try to swim across. And you look at them and say, there's no way you're going to swim across there. The ones that wanted more, the ones that were content, no one stood up and said, I think we're just going to stay here. They all crossed. Here's what it kind of looked like. Obviously, we weren't there, but here's what it kind of looked like. Walls of water on your right, walls of water on your left. Again, there were some of you, I'm assuming, that were like you that probably went and tried to grab a fish out of the water. I'm assuming that probably happened. There was one of you somewhere along the way. Hey, look at that. Isn't that cool? There were some of you as a big brother was probably trying to push your younger sibling into the water. All right? These were people. The people crossed. Possibly a mile wide. One would say that 4 hours is how long it would take to move 1 million people across if they stood shoulder to shoulder. Some would say maybe 6 hours. Let me remind you of this, though. Were they done? They weren't done. This was just one step. Years later, they walked through the Jordan River in about the same way into the Promised Land with stones. This morning, I didn't just drive. I live over by the hospital, if you know where I live. I didn't just drive on Elkville Road like I usually drive. I actually went over and went down went down Elm Street. And then when I went to St. Francis Street, and I stopped and I took a picture. Actually, I took two pictures. took that picture, it looks a little different than maybe what you're familiar with. Corey is working to make it into some apartment buildings, and so there's more doors. I took another picture from the backside. That's the old First Wesleyan Church. Great times of ministry, great times of people coming to know the Lord, great times of people being discipled, but we're moving on. And I ask that you would do this with me, cross the Red Sea with me. Go back to that picture with the dry ground, if you will. It is told that before a great battle, Napoleon would stand in his tent alone, and he would send for his commanders to come to him one by one. When they came in, he would not say a word at all, but he'd look them square in the eye, shake them by the hand, and they would go out prepared to die for the general whom they loved. This is like Moses and God. God had the faith, or Moses had the faith he had because he knew God was there. When we come straight into God's presence, no task can ever defeat us. Our failure and our fear are so often due to the fact that we try to do things alone. Now, we're not going to conquer and try to conquer a physical foe today. But if I could do this, and I can't do this because it would take a little bit too much time if I went down the row. But I'd like to look each of you in the eye today, and I'd like to say, just like, not say anything to you, just say, let's go. Let's go do this. Let's not give up. Let's keep stepping because there are men and women, boys and girls, who don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we need to cross together. There's an enemy that wants to say, no, 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 don't, don't, don't. But God is calling us forward. May we step out in faith as we cross the Red Sea today together, if you will. In Exodus chapter 15, they've crossed the Red Sea. And there's a song of Miriam that is recorded in Exodus chapter 15. You might want to go read it if you want to today for some reading. I want to close with some of the words of the song. I'm not going to sing it because I don't know the rhythm, but I do know the words. So hear this and apply it to your life. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome and glorious deeds, doing wonders? You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The Lord will reign forever and ever. Lord Jesus, I thank you for each person that's here today. I believe that they're here on purpose. Thank you for your word to us today. As we continue in our service, I just pray that we would all cross and that you would encourage us to cross together. We have prayed for unity, and we continue to pray for unity as we continue to go forward. And may you allow us to reach many with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your power and your presence. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.